Let us open the scriptures to the book of Daniel, the fifth chapter, and read the first 23 verses, and then our text will be the verses 22 and 23. Daniel chapter 5, the word of God. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing, and show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, for they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will." And then the next two verses will be our text, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Amen. This morning, congregation, the theme was God's word of justification. This evening, God's word of condemnation. And we will consider that word of God of condemnation written on Belshazzar's wall, indicting Belshazzar's heart, and then explained by Belshazzar's opposite, namely Daniel. Beloved congregation, in between the fourth and the fifth chapter of Daniel, there is a period of about 20 to 30 years. Surely in those 20 or 30 years, important things will have happened, also in Babylon, but they are not recorded in the scriptures. The scriptures are not just a book of history with all the major the events being jotted down and commented on, perhaps. Scripture, for instance, passes over in silence the death of King Nebuchadnezzar and takes us to a period about 20 to 30 years past chapter 4. Because what the Word of God does is direct our attention to the fundamental question of our relationship to God. That's really what the Bible is about. How do we stand in the sight of God? So when God in the book of Daniel from chapter 4 moves to this chapter 5 and passes over in silence many, many details, we can be sure that what God has recorded in chapter 5 is of supreme, lasting importance. Chapter 5 is a chapter that does deal with history. There was a time in the churches, surely in the liberal churches, when they argued that the fifth chapter was not history, because they could not find any historical data making reference to Belshazzar. But then in the previous century, between the first and the second World War, they found a great deal of information about this king Belshazzar, confirming the very truth of the fact that Daniel chapter 5 is history. And we can even be certain on the basis of that history that what is written here in Daniel chapter 5 took place on the 15th and the 16th of October in the year 539 BC. More than that, even the room in which this banquet took place has been identified with a great degree of certainty. A vast room of 160 feet in length and a width of 50 feet with white plastered walls. We are reading history as we read Daniel chapter 5. Nebuchadnezzar had a daughter, if we understand it from history, who was the mother of Belshazzar. And his mother was married to someone by the name of Nabonidus. He was not only the king, but he was also the general of the army And in a time of war, he was fighting. And war had come. Already for about 10 years, he had been fighting in Arabian countries. And then he heard that Cyrus, later called Darius in chapter 6, was conquering his empire. And so as fast as he could, with his armies, he moved eastward to fight against Cyrus. But he was routed by the armies of Cyrus. And it was in that period that his son Belshazzar was reigning in his place, in the city of Babylon. Not much was left of that great Babylonian empire. And what we have in Daniel chapter 5 is a gripping account. It was actually a scandalous thing that this Belshazzar, in this very last night of his life, knowing that he was surrounded by armies of the Medes and Persians, that he ordered this great banquet for 1,000 guests. Belshazzar apparently never thought that they would be able to capture him, because one of the historians tells us that he had in the city of Babylon a supply of food that would last them 10 years. And around the city they had tremendous fortifications. And one of the greatest fortifications was the river Euphrates itself. But Belshazzar did not know that in that very night that he had this great party, Cyrus and his army diverted the water of the river Euphrates. And the level of water was coming down and down, and by the time the morning came, the water was shallow. And the army entered the city of Babylon, and the city fell, and Belshazzar was slain. At any rate, Belshazzar had arranged for this great banquet, attended by 1,000 persons. There was food, there was entertainment, there was music, and there was an abundance of drink. And when Belshazzar was under considerable influence of wine, he called for the golden and the silver vessels that once had been in the temple in Jerusalem. And he wanted his guests, or many of his guests, to drink from those vessels. And that's what happened. And the more wine they drank, the more they praised with the wine in these cups, not the God of Israel, but the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And the God of Israel, the true God, who had revealed himself clearly to Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel and his three friends, he was being mocked this night. How long can a man mock God and go unpunished till God steps in? And God did that night. In Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul later wrote, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." As the feast went on and the drunkenness only got worse, opposite the table that King Belshazzar was sitting on, there appeared a man's hand writing on the plaster wall. Was not the whole hand of a man, just a part. The part of the hand that wrote, verse 5 says. So the fingers, with perhaps a part of the hand, maybe to the almost to the wrist. And that hand wrote on the wall 4 words. We'll look at those words next Lord's Day. And when that hand had written those 4 words, the hand disappeared. But the words remained. No one understood it. The drinking and the singing stopped. The sight alarmed the king out of his drunkenness. And he recognized this is some supernatural intervention. The joints of his loins were loosed and his knees knocked against each other. He called for his pagan counselors, promised them a great reward if they would only explain what was written there. They came, they could not. Again, the wisdom of Babylon was empty. And Paul later would say that there is a day coming that every mouth will be stopped. And God will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And when those wise men of Babylon could not read or interpret those words, Belshazzar was greatly troubled and his lords were astonished. What now? At that moment, Belshazzar's mother came walking into the banquet hall. She had not been present during the feast, understood what had happened and said to her son, "Call for Daniel. In him is the spirit of the holy gods. He's able to do what nobody else can. He did it in the days of my father, your father," which can also then mean your grandfather. And then Daniel was brought in. So there we have the first point, congregation. The word of condemnation written on the wall. Belshazzar did not realize that it was a word of condemnation, but it shook him up greatly. Let's now look at what Daniel does as he takes that message and he indicts the very heart of King Belshazzar. As Daniel walked in, he realized right away what had happened. He saw those vessels, and it may be that he had seen those vessels when he was a lad in Jerusalem at the temple. And he said to King Belshazzar, "Before I interpret what is written on there, and I will do it, I have to say something else first. You will remember how your father, in this case then the grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, how great and mighty a king he was. The Most High God had given him that majesty. And you know how he had power over all his subjects, whom he would, he put down. Whom he would, he slew. And nobody called him to give account of it. And whom he would, he spared. And no one had the boldness to say to him, 'Who gives you the right to do that?' You also will know, O king, that when his heart was filled with pride, God abased him and made his heart like the heart of a beast, until he knew that the Almighty God reigns in the kingdom of men. You know that, O king. But although you know it or knew it, you have not humbled yourself, not your heart. On the contrary, they have brought the vessels of his house before thee at this feast, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, thy life is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Up to this point, O King, you have ignored the God who has given you breath to live. Your breath you owe to Him. And the fact that up till now He has given you that breath is evidence that He is holding your breath in His hand. But you did not shrink from dishonoring Him and mocking Him. What a bold prophet Daniel was. He was around the age 80 or a bit older. Here he stood before the king who was drunk. The words of Proverbs 28 verse 1, the second part, apply to Daniel here certainly, which read, "The righteous are bold as a lion." But Daniel felt constrained to declare the truth to the king. It would be the last time that he would speak to the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel would tell him that there is but one way of escape. And he warned Belshazzar for the last time in his life. This pagan man and king had ignored the God of heaven and earth, the God of Israel, all the years of his life. This was his last night. And if this man would perish in this night, he would not perish unwarned. He perished after he was warned. What a gripping account, congregation. A chapter that contained many lessons. Let's seek to learn the lessons in this chapter and take them to heart. What God has in view in this chapter, in the exposition and the application of it, is that we look in the mirror. And that we look actually at two mirrors. In the one mirror, we will see the picture of Belshazzar. And in the other mirror, we will see the picture of Daniel. Let's look at that picture, at those two mirrors. And don't shut your eyes when you look in that mirror. Don't get up and walk out now. In Belshazzar, we see a man who hardens his heart in sin, in spite of warnings. That's what Daniel says to the king, "Though thou knewest all this, you knew, O king, of God's judgment on Nebuchadnezzar, that voice came from heaven. To you it is spoken, Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom is departed from you." And he was abased. You knew that, Belshazzar. You heard it in your own family, that God is not to be mocked, and that those who do mock God will one day be deeply abased. Belshazzar knew it, had been talked about in his family. No doubt his mother, who makes reference to Daniel, will have told her son, and it may be that Belshazzar as a little boy saw his grandpa eat the grass with the oxen. God's hand abasing your grandfather. But in spite of the fact that you knew all this, O king, you still have ignored God. What a fool. And Belshazzar knew a great deal about Israel. Belshazzar knew that Israel was a remarkable nation. and that God had a remarkable plan with Israel. He knew that the land from which Israel had been exiled was the land of Jehovah, the creator of all the earth. And the people that had lived there, and men like Daniel will have told them that the godly people, the God-fearers there, would not worship idols of wood and stone, of gold and of silver, though many Israelites had done so. That's why they were in exile here in Babylon. And they knew that God revealed himself in his temple, there by the ark in the Holy of Holies, with the blood of atonement. And it was not only Daniel that will have told so, but the word of God speaks about it himself. In Psalm 147, for example, God showeth his word, says Psalm 147, to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He hath not so dealt with any nation. But the living God, who had revealed himself to Israel, he had also come with judgment to his people. And they had been sent into exile. And Belshazzar knew something of this. He knew so much of it that when he was half drunk, he said, let's get those cups, those vessels of gold and silver that were in the temple in Jerusalem that my father, my grandfather, took and brought here. And a little later, when Daniel then had come in, then he said to Daniel, I've heard of thee, Daniel. Daniel was a prophet of the Lord. But this man Daniel, he had not seen Daniel for years. Daniel was no longer at the court. If Belshazzar had gone to Daniel before this night, during the years of his life, he would have heard from Daniel the truth of the God of Israel. But he didn't. Of course, he did not want to hear the truth of the God of Israel. Daniel would have told them that about 100 years before the exile, God had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. And I quote from chapter 13, verse 19 and 20. This is what God had prophesied. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. And verse 22 in that same chapter, Isaiah 13 says, her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. 150 some years, 170 years had passed by. And in this night, Daniel stood before King Belshazzar. And he had shut his eyes to the word of God. And when we shut our eyes to the word of God, it's our own responsibility. God will call us to account. That's what happened to Belshazzar. He could have known. God had a prophet in Babylon. But he had not called for Daniel at the feast, but for the golden vessels from the temple at his feast. And he had used the sacred vessels to mock God. And that God is the living God. And God writes with his fingers. Do you remember that God once wrote his law with his own fingers? And here he wrote on the wall of the palace in Babylon. It's not hard for God to write on a wall. It's not hard for God to speak. In the New Testament, he has spoken to us by his Son. But those who shut their eyes to that word of God, they shall perish. And by way of application, congregation, at this point, To whom does this apply now here this evening? How many in our midst are in the process of hardening themselves? In spite of all the warnings. How often has God already said to you, turn ye from your evil ways. Why will you die? How often has the Lord already said to us, many, many shall be the sorrows to the wicked. The way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The way of the ungodly shall perish. And many other such verses in the Bible. And we see it happening right before our eyes, don't we? Warnings from God. Sinner, don't continue walking on the way to perdition. Or don't you hear the warnings? Somebody at work passed away. How old was he? Or a neighbor? Or someone in your family? And it made you stop. And you thought, what if it had been me? It hit you. Can I meet God? Or you were in the car and you almost had an accident. And after that, you drove more carefully than ever before till the day came and you drove again the way you used to drive. Anyone here who dares to live on while being unconverted, not reconciled to God? And you know there is but one step between us and death. Death can come at any moment. And then earthly life is passed away. And you will stand before the judgment seat of God and of His Christ. Or worse, I hope it does not apply to any of us here. But anyone here who even at times mocks God? Allow me to address you two young people at this very point. You are growing up in a very wicked world. You understand this chapter in the Bible, don't you? What does this chapter say? On the one hand, it shows you a world of pleasure, drinking, carefree hedonism, eating, drinking, dancing, being merry. Where were some of you last night? Were you at Belshazzar's feast? And here you are in church, and God says that the handwriting is on the wall, and He shows it to your very eyes. It's directed to you, because you have not humbled yourself. I pray, God, that you tremble this night under God's condemnation. And that you won't walk out and hope that you'll forget to tremble sometime this week. But that you will bow. And I say it to the young people. Does it apply to the older ones here as well? Maybe not drinking in a party, but by yourself. Living actually a life like Belshazzar. Tonight God is writing on the wall before your eyes. And He says, you knew it, but you have not humbled yourself. And what is that to humble yourself? That's come down from your throne and realize your sin and your sinfulness and agree with God's condemnation. That you stop looking only at the sinners around you and think that you are still a little better than they are. But it means that you be overwhelmed by the continued goodness of God that He has showed you from your earliest years on. And it means that you seek the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood, His death, His righteousness, His Spirit, and that you take a lowly place at His feet. And that you say, if thou condemnest me, I deserve it. But have mercy upon me. Humble yourself. Be slain, as it were, on the battlefield of sovereign grace. It's a work of grace that your heart needs to be broken, melted. You need to become a broken person, not just for a moment in church and back to what you were before, but always, in order that you may live only out of Him who supplies newness of life. Dying to self and sin, and desiring to live out of Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you remain proud. And you will perish in the day of days. It cannot go on for very long, because God is not mocked. In the days of Noah, God came with judgment. Isaiah already mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah. God came with judgment. One day God will come with His judgment to you in real. He is warning you tonight. Let's look again in the mirror of Belshazzar and recognize that there is another feature yet about him. It's in the second part of verse 23. In the first part, he admonishes him for what he has done with those holy vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. He had used them to worship idols of stone and of gold and of wood. But in the second part of that verse, he goes on and he says, but the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? You may know that this morning in church at the table of the Lord, there was a reference to not only sins of commission, but to sins of omission. This is a sin of omission. The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou omitted to glorify. What is that? Oh, Belshazzar, you have ignored God, kept God out of your life. You've thought all along, I can live without Him. I want to live as I please. And therefore you have not glorified Him. You have ignored that you are His creature. You came from His hand. He has sustained you all these years. From moment to moment, your breath is in His hand. You think of those words, congregation. Your breath is in His hand. Tonight you go home after church. And there you will sit. Then you should sit at home for a moment. Think about that. And then breathe. Exhale. Inhale. And you do it 24 hours a day. And you don't think of it if you are a healthy man or a healthy woman. It's when you develop emphysema or some other lung disease that you realize that breathing becomes quite a chore. But if you are young, you don't think of that. You just breathe, that's me. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. As you hear these words, what does your conscience say? What does your heart say? Do you hear God speaking to you and pointing His finger at you and saying what He once said through the prophet to David, thou art the man? Your name is not Belshazzar, but you are like him. Remember now thy Creator, in whose hand is thy breath. Or as Peter puts later, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Have you learned to do that? Take my life, O Lord, and let it be consecrated all to thee. For thereunto thou hast created me, and given me my breath, and placed me in this world. Thereunto thou hast also brought me up under thy word, and brought me this evening to thy house, in order that I may know and hear and discover that in myself am no different than Belshazzar. And I must humble myself before thee and confess, Lord, that's my life, my sin, my iniquity. That's me. I have not glorified thee. But convert thou me, O Almighty God, for Jesus' sake. And as we still look in the mirror and see Belshazzar's picture, let's also learn this lesson, that the Lord only needs to show his fingers and write something on the wall, and we are greatly troubled when God comes in judgment and reveals his omnipotence. What does a man then do with his big mouth? And Belshazzar had a big mouth when he was half drunk or more drunk. He called for the golden vessels from the Lord's temple, and he used them to mock God. Those fingers come. He puts the cup down and he's shaken all over. Who shall stand when he appeareth? And if that's what happened in the banquet hall in Babylon, what will people be on the day when the heavens shall break and the Son of God shall come with the clouds, and we shall see the sign of the Son of Man appearing in heaven? And when we then read in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. What shall happen when the trumpet shall sound and he shall appear? The Bible says, then every man who is unconverted shall be speechless. And then those that are Christ shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That was our second point. The word of God's condemnation indicted the heart of Belshazzar. And let's now consider, by looking in the mirror and see Daniel, how he explained then what God was saying. Daniel, the prophet. And as we look in this mirror, make it your prayer, O God, make me like Daniel in that sense. What do we read here about Daniel? The Queen Mother lists a whole number of items that had impressed her about Daniel when her father was troubled at the time of the first dream. And Daniel had prayed for mercy. And the second dream, and Daniel had interpreted. And when there was the encounter of her father and those three friends and that fourth figure in the fiery furnace. She knew her father respected Daniel, was a God-fearing man. And Daniel's life spread a sweet fragrance. How did that come about in Daniel's life? Had he worked at that by his own works? No, what we see in Daniel is the covenant mercies of God at work, teaching him to fear the Lord, to walk in his ways, to live a life of prayer, searching the scriptures, as we will find him someday reading the book of Jeremiah in Daniel chapter 9, and then going on his knees. He had come to fear the Lord and walk with the Lord. And what you see in Daniel is that it is impossible. We'll see that in the next Lord's Day in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 24. It's impossible for those who are engrafted into Christ by a true faith. It's impossible for them not to show forth fruits of thankfulness. If the Lord Jesus Christ has become the fountain and the secret of a person's life, then that life is changed. That's Daniel's life. He lived a life, a strict life indeed. Daniel could have said what Paul later said to Felix in Acts chapter 24 when he said, "Herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Acts 24 verse 16. That could have been said about Daniel. And you see something of that in Daniel chapter 9. Where you see that Daniel bowed before God and knew himself to be a sinner before God, even though the Bible does not write, spell out any sins on the part of Daniel personally, that he had this misstep. And there he failed. And yet, Daniel indwelt by the Spirit of God, renewed by the grace of God, had learned not only to lean on the righteousness of God, through him who was to come, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, of whom he writes in Daniel chapter 7. But he had also come to see his need for a new life, to live out of the one that was to come. And when Daniel was called to speak, he spoke the word of God. And then he didn't only say, "Oh, that's what those words mean. Oh, thank you, Daniel. Bye." No. Then he would address those words. And he would call, as he does in this chapter, to repentance. And he would warn. He added a solemn word, a personal word, an honest word, and did not spare, though he was speaking here to the king, but constrained by love and compassion for this sinner who was to stand before the judge of all the earth in a few moments, he spoke without respect of persons. Does that make you desirous to be like Daniel? What do we see in Daniel? That God makes a difference there where there is no difference from out of man. And you see Belshazzar, a man of sin, loathsome, foul, ugly. And you see Daniel, what do you see in him? The grace of God being glorified. And ennobling a man like Daniel, sanctifying a person like Daniel. Grace makes a person to be an example to others. That's how it ought to be in everyone's life. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord. Daniel is a person to imitate. By the grace of God. And when that happens in a person's life, that you come to fear the Lord, you come to see your need of mercy, you come to plead for mercy, you come to walk by the Holy Scriptures, then it shows up in everything. In your church attendance, it shows up in your Lord's Supper attendance. Or it shows up in the struggle you have with the Lord's Supper. And you go to the Lord for the mercy you need. And it shows as you leave the table of the Lord, ever more in need of the Lord. It transforms your life. And you are made after the image of the Son of God who still was to be born in the days of Daniel. That was still quite a while to come, but there was something of Christ in Daniel, of the Spirit of Christ in Daniel, and others knew it. What do others know of you and of me? What do others think of you and of me? Speaking now particularly to those who have confessed the faith and confessed their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that come through to them? That you desire to walk with the Lord by the light of His Word? That will be the least, will it not be, in your life? Not to be like a Pharisee, if only others see me do this, not to impress them. No. But what do others say about us? Not in the sense of that they slander us or speak behind. But what do they see in us as we live? What do they hear from us as we speak? Are we examples of self-denial? Are we examples of uprightness, of faith and hope and love? Examples of, like the publican, going to the temple and not thinking of yourself in yourself any more than the sinner in need of mercy? Are we examples? Or must we say tonight, no, there is so much. I know that others cannot take me as an example. I know I don't make others jealous by what I say, by what I do. My children have never said to me, Dad, I'd like to be like you. Maybe that is a blessing too. It might make you proud. But should we not be an example to our children and to our parents? Is it not so that we are in our talk, so worldly congregation, gossiping? Must that not also be said about the children of God? And we hear them talk too about others behind their back. And we do see them do things that are contrary to the Word of God. Well, then we are no recommendation to them for the service of God. Then others cannot become jealous of us. Then as you look at Daniel this evening, then you say, oh Lord, I wish I could be. But I know I'm not. Then the Lord says, repent. Repent. Today is the day to repent. Then stop the gossip. Stop. So that the God in whose hand your breath is, you learn to glorify. Through God's own Son, not through Daniel, God's own Son. And then one more thing, congregation, and I'll close with that. It's an application particularly for the minister, but it applies also to you as a father and as a mother. But in Daniel, we have an example of what a preacher is to be like. And a father is to be like to his children. And a mother to her children. And a grandpa to his grandchildren who says, son, grandson. The God in whose hand your breath is, you are not glorifying. You have not. Sometimes that's hard because then the grandchildren won't like us anymore. They avoid us. Sometimes it's hard for a minister. Oh, I have to change that? No. This is the word of God. God will hold us to it today and in the day of judgment. And therefore, let us not resist ourselves on this Lord's Day of the Lord's Supper against this chapter of the Word of God. God recorded it in the Scriptures, and it's yours to take home tonight. And God has a purpose with it, that you turn and I turn and humble ourselves before Him for a first time or again. And by continuation, Amen.